Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Well, my name is Gary Sinise. I'm an actor, director, movies and theater and television work over many, many years. Created a foundation years ago to support the men and women who serve our country here in the United States. And that all grew from work that I had done years ago and some movie work and some things that happened back in the 90s and the 80s. I started supporting our Vietnam veterans after meeting my wife's two brothers who served in Vietnam. One was a West Pointer, went to Vietnam as a lieutenant and back again as a captain. And then the other was a helicopter pilot. And then my brother-in-law, who married my wife's sister, he was a combat medic in Vietnam. Anyway, I got very involved with Vietnam veterans back in the 80s and started supporting them through my theater company. So I'll back up a little bit and then I'll come wind myself back up to there. In high school, I was playing in some rock bands in high school, and this goes back several decades. I was having kind of a little bit of trouble academically as a student. My family had moved around a bit, and I think moving around kind of jostled me a little, and I had some trouble adjusting. So I was having some trouble with academics, but I did enjoy playing the guitar and being in bands, and that was kind of what I was doing in high school. It was keeping me sort of sane through the difficulties of study and all of that I was not very good at. But I could get up on stage and sort of perform. And I was standing in this hallway one day when I was a sophomore in high school in Highland Park High School in Highland Park, Illinois. And this little lady walked by me. I happened to be standing there with some of my band members, and we were looking a little bit scruffy. And this little lady walked by, and she happened to be the drama teacher. And if you know the musical West Side Story, it was written in the 60s, and it was kind of a modern take at that time on the Romeo and Juliet story about these two gangs in New York who were fighting each other. And one from the Puerto Rican gang, this young lady falls in love with a guy from the American gang. And it's kind of a Romeo and Juliet story. Anyway, There's a lot of fighting on stage and dancing and all this stuff. And the gang members are in there. And she walked by, this little lady, and she looked at me and said, "You look like you could play one of the gang members in my show that I'm directing. So why don't you come and audition for it?" And then she flew off down the hall. And I knew that movie. I had seen that movie, West Side Story. And I was a little bit curious. So after school, I went and kind of hung outside the audition. I saw all these pretty girls walking in there. And so I followed them in, and they gave me a little script to get up on stage and start reading to audition for it. And I wasn't really taking it very seriously. I was just kind of goofing around, but I was getting a lot of laughs. People thought I was kind of amusing. And so I got a little part in the play, and that changed everything for me. All of a sudden, I wanted to take all the theater classes. I wanted to do all the plays that I could. And so for the next couple of years, I became one of the top theater students in high school. And when I graduated from high school, having had so much trouble academically, I didn't really want to go off to college and try and kind of put myself through that again. So I started a theater company with a bunch of kids. And that theater company started off in 1974. We called it Steppenwolf Theater. It's in the city of Chicago. It is 50 years old now. It's a giant multi-theater complex located on the north side of Chicago. Restaurants, bars, classrooms, three theaters. It's a giant, internationally recognized Chicago institution now. And when you look at it, it was started by, you know, I was 18 years old when it started. And now you look at that thing and it's a giant building, and it shows you what just working hard at something that you love and kind of struggling through all the ups and downs and the bumps along the way and everything, and fighting your way through that, and continuing to accomplish the mission and the goals. It shows you what, you know, perseverance can really do. When you see that theater in Chicago, it's pretty impressive. And from that, I went into the movies and television and ended up doing some pretty popular movies. And then I had a television series, CSI New York, for 9 seasons, another one called Criminal Minds Beyond Borders. And the career has been pretty good, and I've been able to take that career and do some good with it by creating a foundation to support our service members.
You've done a lot of great work, and we're going to try and touch on that as well as your acting career. I mean, you had so many wonderful roles with The Stand and Mice and Men and Forrest Gump. One of our students reached out and they wanted to know, this comes from France. One of the kids wanted to know, of all your roles, which one is the one that stands out for yourself the most?
Well, thank you for the question. You know, there's several. It's really hard to just pick one over some others. Can I name a few? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir.
Okay. Well, years ago, when I was in high school, when I got so involved with wanting to know everything about theater and learn about acting and everything, one of the plays I saw was Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. And I saw that as a young 16-year-old high school student, that they actually took our class to go see a professional production of that. And I was knocked out by that and fell in love with Steinbeck's writing. Years later, at Steppenwolf Theater, John Malkovich and I did the play of Mice and Men. And then about a decade after that, and that was probably 1980, and then about 1990, 91, I got the rights to make Of Mice and Men into a movie. And so that was, it's over 30 years ago now that we made the movie. Well, one of the great things that happened is we went to the Cannes Film Festival in France, and we took it to the festival, and it did very, very well. It was nominated for the Palme d'Or and, got highly acclaimed at the film festival there. And I'll never forget going to the festival and being in the theater and getting a 15-minute standing ovation for the movie. John Malkovich was there, all the producers, people from MGM. So that movie, because I produced it, I directed it, and I acted in it, that will always be kind of a favorite, because it goes back to my high school days when I first discovered it, and then years later I got to make a movie of it. So that'll always be one of the favorites. Of course, Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump is a favorite, because it led to so many other wonderful things that I've done. I hadn't done that many movies prior to Forrest Gump. Mice and Men was one of them. And I think the producers and the directors saw Of Mice and Men, and they asked me to come in and audition to play Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump. So Of Mice and Men kind of led to Lieutenant Dan, and then Lieutenant Dan led to Apollo 13. And I played Harry Truman in a movie for HBO. I played the governor of Alabama, George Wallace. That was a great project, because I got to work with a legendary film director, John Frankenheimer, who'd done just a ton of great work over the years. And I got to work with John on George Wallace. That'll always be a favorite experience of mine. But I've had many experiences in television, film, and on stage. Like I said, I did Of Mice and Men on stage. We did The Grapes of Wrath on stage. I got to play Tom Joad. We moved it to Broadway. It won the Tony Award for Best Play that year. I got to do One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest on Broadway. after we'd done it in Chicago and overseas. So there have been many, many wonderful experiences that I've had over the years, too many to name, and too many to kind of single out one as being the above all best experience I've had. I've had a lot of good experiences.
You have a really good quote that I wanted to bring up, that acting is a way to not only telling stories, but also helping people understand the human condition. And your role in Of Mice and Men is probably one of the most brilliant acting roles I've ever seen. You know, if you haven't seen it, go do yourself a favor, guys, and check that movie out. But you also directed that movie, which is how do you juggle that with acting, but also directing at the same time? Sorry, this comes from me. This comes from me.
Yeah, Ralph, that was a bit of a challenge. You know, I had done some directing and acting on stage together. There was a play that John Malkovich and I did in 19 after we had done Of Mice and Men together on stage. Another buddy of ours, Terry Kinney, directed that. But then I had directed a play by Sam Shepard called True West that John was in, and we ended up moving that to an off-Broadway theater in New York in 1982, and I directed it and acted in it. That was challenging to direct the play and be in the play at the same time, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot about that, so I felt confident that having done Of Mice and Men already on stage and knowing the story so well, and having directed and acted in True West and a number of other things that I directed. I felt confident in taking up Of Mice and Men, taking up the challenge. One of the reasons I wanted to direct the movie is because I wanted to act in the movie. I loved the part of George. I loved working with John on stage in Of Mice and Men, and I thought I could do a good job with it. I met Elaine Steinbeck, she was John Steinbeck's widow. She controlled all the rights to all his books. And I had to ask her for the rights to Of Mice and Men. I got to know her pretty well when we were doing The Grapes of Wrath on Broadway. And she was a wonderful lady. And she gave me the rights to make Of Mice and Men into a movie. It was pretty incredible. Not often will you get the rights for free to go make a movie of a very classic, famous book. But we got along so well. And she admired our theater company. And she thought I could do a good job with it. So she gave me the rights for 1 year for free. And if I could take and I could go as a producer and say I had the rights to Of Mice and Men, and if I could set that book up to get a screenplay written and to go into production within 1 year, I had 1 year to do it. Then the plan was that when I made a deal with a studio, they would pay her, you know, and that's exactly what we did. I had some projects with MGM in the past, some development projects trying to develop some scripts, and so I had a relationship with MGM. I went to them first. They didn't have to read the book. Everybody knows Of Mice and Men, right? And it wasn't going to be that expensive, you know, compared to other movies. So we made the deal with MGM, and they went and paid Elaine the money, and that's kind of how that project went. And I felt very confident going into it that I could figure out how to direct it and act in it in the same time. I had a great crew, great cast, and I knew the story so well that it felt real comfortable to do that one. And I had directed one other film before that, and I learned a lot on that first film. It's called Miles from Home with Richard Gere. And that was the first film I directed. I made some mistakes. I bumped along the way trying to figure things out. So I learned a lot on that first film, and I felt much more confident as a director and producer and actor on the second film of Mice and Men.
It was a great job. And again, it's that human condition. First of all, with Terry Kinney, he co-founded Steppenwolf with you, correct?
Yes, Terry
Yeah, so
Kinney and Jeff Perry.
full circle right there, you guys working together. And with that human condition, one thing that I like the parallels between Of Mice and Men and Forrest Gump is that you're an individual who's expressing complete and utter patience with the developmentally delayed. And I just like the parallel in both of those characters that you played. Just phenomenal.
Thank you.
I'll go to this student question. One of the kids from Italy wanted to know, what is one story from your work with with your foundation that has impacted you a lot that you could share with us?
Well, there are so many. I've met incredible, resilient heroes over the years that have, served our country and sacrificed quite a bit. I mean, from the families of our fallen heroes to our wounded to, entertaining on military bases and at military hospitals all around the world. I've just met extraordinary people and have so many. I mean, most of my friends, not, well, I have friends from all parts of my life and everything like that, but I have a lot of, currently, I have just a lot of friends that have served in the military. From, somebody who's a triple or quadruple amputee who has shown incredible resilience and perseverance through, great challenge, and us having built, specially adapted smart technology, mortgage-free housing for many of these families, and learning quite a bit from them, to four-star generals who I know, and everybody in between. I've made a lot of wonderful friends through service, and also who are protecting our cities as police officers and firefighters, and that's what my foundation is for. I started doing this work many years ago. Like I said, I got involved with Vietnam veterans in the 80s after playing Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump. Of course, he was a double amputee, Vietnam veteran. And I had already been supporting Vietnam veterans, so I really wanted to play that part. I was lucky to get it. And having played that part, it led me to an association with the Disabled American Veterans Organization. They represent And at that time, it was about 1.5 million wounded veterans, going all the way back to World War II. Now they're up to, they represent about 2 million wounded veterans. That relationship developed over time, and I've been very supportive of them over the years. Learned quite a bit from them, and then after September 11th, when we were attacked, I just felt like I was teed up to do something more. And that's when I volunteered for the USO and just started going on trips. I was on the first big USO tour to Iraq back in June of 2003. It was about 2 months after, you'll recall, in April of 2003, the statue of Saddam Hussein being pulled down in the square in Baghdad. That was in April, and then 2 months later, I was actually in Baghdad with a big, giant USO tour that led to one tour after another. And that year, I went on six or seven USO tours. I wasn't working at the time, so I could just keep raising my hand and saying, "Send me here and send me there." And I just kept going on tours, and that just teed up a lot of things. I ended up getting involved with multiple nonprofits that were supporting our military and first responders, trying to help them raise money, trying to help them raise awareness for their missions, doing all of that. And then in 2011, it just all kind of just came to the point with me that the next big step for me in this world of veteran and first responder support was to start my own organization. And that's when I started the Gary Sinise Foundation. So we'll be entering our 15th year this summer. And we've raised a lot of money and deployed that money all over the place to try to help people.
And you guys have done such amazing work, and I'm glad that we can share this with the next generation and with kids around the world. And we're going to send out more information regarding the foundation. And is it cool if we go with two more questions, and we'll let you go?
Sure.
And we have some veterans here on the call, so thank you all for your service, even Special Forces PJ. So one of the kids, they wanted to know, what steps do you think society needs to take to become more altruistic to the world around them?
Well, it's hard for me to talk about society. I can talk about individuals and talk personally about what has what has made me more fulfilled. We all have our challenges in life. I mean, we're all going to go through great challenge. That's part of being a human being on this planet. And people are going to go through times of difficulty and times of great joy and all of that. I have found in life that service to others was it has been a great healer for me. I remember after those planes hit those buildings in 2001, just my heart just breaking. And I was so sad for the families who lost loved ones, you know, and having met many, many Vietnam veterans and meeting the families of those who had been lost at the World Trade Center and over the years in service to our country, my heart just was full, but it was also broken after that terrible day. And I remember going to our little Catholic church in Malibu. We lived in Malibu, California at the time. My children were little, and September 11th was on a Tuesday, and on Friday, the president had kind of stated that the Friday after that Tuesday was going to be a national day of prayer and remembrance for the victims and families impacted by 9/11 and the attacks. So around our country, all over the place, churches were filled, and synagogues and houses of worship everywhere were just filled with people trying to process what we had witnessed, mostly most of us here in this country and overseas on television. The images that we saw, and they were terrifying images. And so people were looking for a way to process that. And I went to our little church with my family, and it was packed, and there was no room to sit. We were just standing on the side, along the wall over here, and I was holding my little daughter's hand, and the priest came out and he said, "This has been a tough week." That was the first thing that came out of his mouth. And everybody just nodded, and everybody was in the same place at that time. It was like really hard to process. And somewhere during that particular mass, I don't know if I heard it exactly, or if it just came to me, or but I heard him talking about service and volunteerism and how the way for our country to heal was by pulling together and doing something for somebody else, doing something positive to help somebody else. And so that I heard that, and I dove into action with this broken heart. And the more I tried to, you know, offer myself in service to others, the more that broken heart healed. And I would always, always, always recommend reaching out and touching somebody else to try to help them through a challenging day. And we're all going to have challenging days, and we all like when other people reach out to us and put their arms around us and try to help us through our challenging days. And so we must all remember what that feels like when somebody helps us through, and carry that with us to help somebody else through. And that's the motivation and the driving force behind creating a nonprofit organization that is simply here to make people feel better and to help them through challenging times. I recommend that to anybody. As you young people go into your lives ahead, you're going to be thinking about your own stuff and trying to figure out what you're going to do and everything like that. But just remember how you feel when you bring a smile to somebody's face who can really use a pat on the back. It makes you feel good about being alive and being a person, and it gives life great purpose beyond just kind of being, you know, doing your own thing and kind of thinking about yourself and all that. We all go through that. I mean, I did. But if you look at my book, it's called Grateful American: A Journey from Self to Service. And in my early days, I was thinking about myself and my self-interests of being an actor and trying to become successful and all of that. And that all catapulted into a life of service that has given great purpose to my life and helped me through some really difficult and challenging times.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And guys, we'll have information regarding his book and how to learn more. And we also have a lot of September 11th, both Pentagon and World Trade Center survivors that are going to be speaking to you guys in the fall, as well as people who participated in America's response. So you had the quote, Gary, where you said, "The more you give, the more you get back." There's no greater satisfaction than serving others. So the final question that comes from me, and I ask this of all of our guests. What advice would you have for these kids as they go off into the world and trying to figure out what paths they want to leave, whether it's either in acting or working for a nonprofit? What kind of advice would you have for them?
Well, if you're going off into acting, one thing you need to have is a bit of a thick skin because trying to make it as an actor and trying to break into the acting business and get yourself moving, you have to have two things: a real belief in yourself and a belief that you're good. And you also have to develop kind of a thick skin because rejection is a part of the business, right? You have to remember, let's say you're going into audition for a play and you're auditioning for a role, a single role. Well, there might be 100 other people that are auditioning for that role. So only one person is going to get it, and the other 99 are going to be rejected. But that doesn't mean you quit because you get rejected. You just take that and you use it as a motivator to get better and to learn more and to go into the next audition even more prepared and more passionate about what you're doing. Don't let the rejection stop you. If you believe in yourself and you believe you're talented and you have passion for what you're doing, be prepared for a little bit of rejection along the way, but if you love it and you have to love it, you can do it. We were kids when we started, and we decided the way for us to go was to create a theater company without having any money or getting paid. We decided to sacrifice trying to go off on our own and be in. Trying to make it in the theater or television business or movie business for just working together as an ensemble and having control over our own work. And so we started a company. Would I recommend that to everybody? I don't know. I mean, it worked for us, but for every successful story of a theater company that actually lasts for 50 years, there are hundreds that don't. So the odds are against you building a theater company like that. But if you start off doing something like that, getting together with a group of kids that you love working with and that are passionate about doing it, you know, even if it only lasts a couple of years or something like that, you're going to learn a lot. And having control over your own work by making your own choices, not being at the mercy of what there is to audition out there, but making decisions about what you're going to do as actors, because we all picked our own plays and we all, you know, directed each other and all of that. And we sacrificed. I mean, we worked other jobs during the day and we would rehearse at night. If you love it, stick with it. You know, give it a chance. Be prepared for some rejection and just develop a thick skin and keep working those acting muscles.
Well, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to us. And guys, you got an invaluable lesson from an award-winning actor as well as an award-winning philanthropist. Gary, before I end the meeting for all, I'm gonna allow everyone to say thank you to you, and then I'm gonna just shut the meeting down. Can we all say thank you to actor and philanthropist Gary Sinise for talking to you guys today? Thank you so much, sir, from around the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.